You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Breaking news. Turkish court has freed American pastor from house arrest, allowing him to leave Turkey despite a conviction on terrorism charges. Remember, nothing is as it appears. So, big news in the world is that the Saudis, under the pretense of giving someone a marriage license, lured a Washington Post correspondent, not an American citizen, he's a Saudi citizen, to their embassy in Turkey. Supposedly, according to the Turks, they now have recordings of what went on inside the Saudi embassy. How about that? So the Turks are willing to say that, yeah, we record what goes on in that place. What? So the question is, to what end? And now, this pastor that has been held, right, for how long? And how many different people have been to Turkey to try to resolve this issue? Now, all of a sudden, the Turkish court decides, yes, he can leave. So, we're playing charades. The question is, to what end are we playing charades to? Why is this going on? I said yesterday that as you watch this, that the head of Interpol is missing in China. And there's not, as of yet, there's no hue and cry like there is now. So what's the difference? The difference is one is a correspondent of the Washington Post and has contributed to them, and he opposes the Saudi Prince Salman, who is on one hand modernizing, at least cosmetically modernizing Saudi Arabia, at the other hand, rules with a bit of a heavy hand, which, is that a surprise in the Middle East? He's a king, for God's sake. So, again, big headlines around the world. Just curious why one's a story and another one isn't. It's from the New York Times. In a startling move that could set back the country's efforts to expand its global presence, the Chinese Communist Party announced late Sunday that the missing president of Interpol, Meng Hongwei, was under investigation on, quote, suspicion of violating the law, and was, quote, under the supervision of an anti-corruption watchdog. Tied to the party. The announcement, this is a couple days ago, that Mr. Meng, a Chinese citizen, was being detained, was posted online by the Central Commission for Discipline Inspection, the party's watchdog. Pretty odd, eh? I agree, pretty odd. So, what makes one a story and the other not a story? Good question, right? I guess we'll wait and stand by for this to continue. It's just an interesting game that is getting played. So what's at stake? So the Turks see an opportunity to drive a wedge between the United States, the Western world, and the who? The Saudis, obviously. Yes. So, why wouldn't we burn it down? But the Chinese can snatch the president of Interpol and not much? The statement about his detention and his subsequent stepping down came a day after Interpol demanded answers from the Chinese government on the whereabouts of Mr. Meng, who was reported missing on Thursday. The detention of Meng, 64, is an audacious step by the party, even by the standards of the increasingly authoritarian system under President Xi Jinping of China, who has repeatedly sought international legitimacy. Mr. Meng's appointment as the president of Interpol, which honestly I find stunning. I didn't even know that until the story broke. was considered quite an achievement for China and a sign of its international presence and growing influence, said Julian Q, a professor at Hofstra University, who has studied China's relationship with international law. While China may have its eye on placing its citizens in other top posts on prominent global organizations, the fact that Meng has disappeared without any notice to Interpol will undermine this Chinese global outreach effort. You think? Mr. Ku said, it's hard to imagine another international organization feeling comfortable placing a Chinese national in charge without feeling nervous that this might happen. What a joke. The announcement of Mr. Meng's detention came hours after his wife, Grace, told reporters in Lyon, France, that before her husband had vanished on a trip to China, he had sent her a phone message with an emoji of a knife. She interpreted the knife image to mean he was in danger, she said in a brief statement to reporters on Sunday in Lyon. The two were living in Lyon, where Interpol is headquartered. So, and there's a game that gets played here, and none of it's about the truth, right? It's all a game of chicken by sovereign nations, right? Turkey outing anybody about human rights abuses is a joke, right? The only thing that's missing is Bozo the Clown and a calliope, which could easily be supplied to the Turks. They won't even have to ask. Straight up clown show. What is interesting is that Turkey evidently sees some opportunity in this, in that they will release, evidently, recordings of what they recorded inside the Saudi embassy in Istanbul. That's a lot, man. So not only we're admitting that we're recording stuff inside there, right? We have the stuff, and we've heard him, the audio of him being beaten, and then evidently the sounds of his body being dismembered. Yeah, as the wrecking crew rolls in on it. And then they leave. So, that's a lot for Turkey to do. It's one thing to say that, yeah, we know this happened. We've recorded it. It's another thing to haul off and throw it out there. So, and then Saudi Arabia, taking a book out of Vladimir Putin's book, they've sent a team to investigate. That's right. Because, after all, the Saudis are interested in the truth just like everybody else, right? Hold on. Wrong. What? Yes, I'm sorry, pumpkins. The Saudis are not interested in the truth. What are they interested in? Well, just like Vladimir Putin, they want it to go away. Go away? Like, how does this go away? Good question. Well, what does Putin do? Right? What would Vlad do? WWVD? What would Vlad do? Well, at some point he's going to walk out in front of the cameras and he's just going to lie and he's going to blame it on everybody else, right? So what's going to happen is, Vlad the Saudis sent their investigating team there, which, you know, come on, everybody would expect that, and they'll conduct a thorough investigation, and they'll come back and say that he left out of a side door at this time for his own security reasons, and we haven't seen him since. What's happened to him? The Turks probably know the answer to that, and they're lying. Whatever audio they have is certainly fabricated in the way intelligence organizations fabricate things. And here's how we know that, and they will offer you evidence. And then they will stand before the world and do exactly what Vladimir Putin does, exactly what the Chinese do, exactly what North Korea does, and they will say, point to the ground and say, this direction is now up, boys and girls. And everybody will nod their head. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Putin. Yes, sir. Got it. Thank you. Bottom line, nothing to see here, boys and girls. Keep moving. Now, the question is, why is the American intelligence apparatus, why is our Senate reacting to this such an obvious game? Which is what confounds me. Is it awful? Yes, it's awful. Absolutely. It's horrible. No human being should have this kind of stuff happen to him, right? Or her, him or her, them. But equally as bad as what's going on in China, like we snatched the head. Like, what? How does a guy? How do we have a Chinese guy in charge of Interpol? Because the Chinese are so worried about the issues that Interpol is involved with, international policing. No, they're not. Okay. Maybe they might be interested in controlling what everybody else knows. They're a totalitarian dictatorship. They don't play by the same rules that everybody else who signed up to play. And it is a tribute to the Coke song, to Angela Merkel, to Barack Obama, that guys like Mr. Meng get put in those positions. What's next? We're going to stick a Russian in there? Sure, the Russians want justice. Listen to what Mr. Putin just said. Yeah, and we can roll the tape, boys. Come on, man. Here's an email. The Washington Post reported that, quote, U.S. intelligence officials have disclosed that the Crown Prince himself gave the order to take that guy. I don't know if this is true, and I certainly don't trust most of anything the Washington Post says without confirmed sources. But if true, damn it. So very reckless and disappointing. So U.S. intelligence officials are leaking that we have some kind of evidence that the head of Saudi Arabia ordered this hit. I would say that however the intelligence apparatus compartmentalizes itself, that piece of data would be in a bin that very few people can access. The transcriptions of conversations that are attributed to heads of state, not a lot of people are going into that. Yep, not a lot of people are going into that. And then within a few days, somebody dumps it in the Washington Post. And again, so why is this a story? This is a story because this guy's affiliated with the Washington Post. And the Washington Post takes it and blows it up. Now that it's going to be an international incident when this goes on all the time. The Turks do it. All right, don't even talk about what goes on in the West Bank. Come on, do we even consider Syria a country? It's more like a territory that there's absolute chaos in. Iraq? Does it go on there? You think? You think being a journalist is a safe way to make a living in Iraq? Only if you're on another continent. Say up in the pioneer parts of Saskatchewan. Yeah, maybe. Maybe you can comment on things in Iraq, and that would be safe. It's clown-like, honestly. So again, I made the comment, why did we go to Somalia? We went to Somalia because of all the videotape of starving people. Well, why didn't we intervene in Cambodia? There was a genocide that went on in Cambodia. You know, millions of people were being killed. Why didn't we intervene in that? It is the power of the media to influence. And so, again, is it unfortunate? Yeah. But again, why does this one break squelch? Because he's a Washington Post guy. That's why. Right? So we're going to burn it down? How about we throw in the last 24 people that have gone missing at the hands of Turkish intelligence? Why don't we throw their pictures up there? Why don't we interview their families? And then what should we do about that? Ohio man's fired up this morning. How do we hire Chinese guys to work on our nuclear laboratory and then act surprised when we find out that they're spying for China? It's maddening. It's like, how stupid can we be? He's a Chinese national here on some visa. Oh, and he was stealing stuff and sending it back. Come on. I mean, if you look at the Chinese military, everything they do is oddly similar to American blueprints. Why is that? Because they're built off American blueprints that are stolen. We are building the Chinese military. They could at least say thank you at some point. But they don't. It's stupid. You read these stories and you're like, who is in charge of that? And what can they be thinking? So, anyway. What's the odd twist this morning is, right, the Turks are all in. Okay. Their lone remaining bargaining chip, the bargaining chip they have with the United States. I won't say the lone. They always have our bases, our NATO bases that we do work in the region out of, in Incirlik, in Turkey. But the pastor's a big bargaining chip. He's been given up today. On his way, either in the air or on his way to the airport to leave Turkey. Convicted of terrorism. So it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say when he comes back. But the Turks, after the Saudis, and the Saudis channeling Vlad, WWVD, what would Vlad do? He would just stand up and lie his ass off to the world. We did not do that. Why anybody would blame this on us is unbelievable to me. No, I don't know who those men in Sevastopol are in those green uniforms that look oddly exactly identical to Russian military uniforms, but they have no patches. So clearly, they're people impersonating Russian troops. Oh, yeah. And those trucks with no markings have no idea. And yes, they are identical to trucks that the Russian army uses, but, I mean, anybody could buy those. Okay. But do you think we were going to stand by and allow Russian citizens that are crying for our help and not heed their cry after the abuse they're suffering at the hands of the Ukrainian government? We will not stand by. We are invading. Film 11. Wait a minute. Is your name Hitler? Or, I know, it's reminiscent of Hitler's stuff, but come on, the guy was a genius. What do you think, I'm not going to learn the lessons of history? Don't you know? When I'm not parading without my shirt on, I study, I read. I'm KGB. Come on. I'm not a rube. I'm not an American. Please. Yeah. So, yeah, an interesting, it's, there's another one. How about Dianne Feinstein having a Chinese driver for over 20 years? Come on. It's diversity. I know that he was reporting back to China, but come on. Clown show. I would cue the clappy music, but I'm just not in the mood for it. Actually, I was having a problem with my web browser because I was, I'll tell you a little bit of an interesting insight into the world of McNamara. So I'm starting to write my book, right? So I've done outlining and I've detailed outline because if I don't do that, I'll set out walking for Phoenix and I'll wind up in Buffalo and not know how the hell I got there. When I look up, like, what happened? Where am I? Yeah, all that wasted energy. A lot of writing, but it's not the direction you wanted to go. So I had to do detailed outlines. So I thought, well, instead of sitting there typing all day, why don't I dictate it? So I looked to see how can I dictate into a word processing program. So you can do it easily in Google Documents. So you open up a Google Doc, you turn your microphone on, and boom. And it's not perfect. You have to go back and proof it. But, you know, you can dump a lot of, you know, writing in there. And you can go back and proof it and change happy to glad and all the rest of that stuff. So the microphone was still on. And I started to talk this morning, and all of a sudden stuff starts happening in my computer. I'm like, somebody hacked me. What's going on? Somebody's like, they're opening browsers, they're closing pages. All kinds of shit's going on in my computer. While I'm sitting here talking about Turkey, I'm like, what's going on? It's the Chinese, man. They've seen all the anti-Chinese shit that I posted. They're on my ass. So then I think, oh no, it's probably the voice-to-text thing that's still on, and it's giving commands to the computer. Bigger than snot it was. Here's the question. So in the first chapter of the book I'm writing called Post-Traumatic Winning, and I talk about my life. So the path of the book is, you know, I talk about my life, how I grew up, and then how trauma entered my life. And so then the path of the book will go the things I got told about trauma, right? All of which were not true. What I learned about trauma, and then how to use those things to learn to coexist with trauma, which is step one, learning to coexist. And then the next chapter is once we learn how to coexist, the next step is learning how to win. And so anyway, that, and then there's a conclusion. So that's the path of the book. So I began to write yesterday, or dictate, same thing. I began the writing process yesterday. So how much detail do you go into, like, about things that happen? Because there's, like, people that are in here that, like, I don't know if they would be happy to read about that stuff. So, yeah, that's why I was contemplating that last night. Like, you know, the book is supposed to be ultimately a book about healing and going to a living a greater life. And when trauma darkens your doorstep, a couple of doors open. One is the door into a life filled with trauma. Okay. There's another door that opens that you can't see because of the smoke in the room and all the shit that's blasted. I mean, imagine, think of trauma as a hand grenade going off, okay? I mean, like a real hand grenade, not like a one in the movies, okay? So everybody, get the movie hand grenade out. When a hand grenade explodes, there's not fire, okay? A lot of dirt gets thrown up, though. Like, stuff gets blown everywhere. So that's what, you know, dust in the air and, you know, everything obscured. So think of the room as that. That's trauma, confusion. Like, so in the room, maybe towards a corner, is another door. But you can't see it. You can't see it. And that is the door towards a greater life. Now, you can get to that door if you have a mentor that would guide you through that cluttered room. And you can find it probably faster. Or if you don't have a mentor, you can discover it on your own. Or you may not discover it at all. Because you'll go through the process of the toxic cocktail and being in therapy your whole life and blah, 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 blah. Not that that's a bad thing. It's appropriate for some. But what's the deliverable from all of that? That I stay on drugs my whole life? That I come to this forever? That doesn't sound like a good plan to me. There's got to be a deliverable. There's got to be something produced. Anyway, just 1 minute. So that door is the door to a greater life. A greater life. So that's the purpose of the book, right? An illustrated guide to a greater life. So, I don't want to harm anybody in the writing of the book. So I was wrestling with that yesterday. Right? I was wrestling with that yesterday. So if you have any advice, don't be afraid to share your advice with me. All right, the chef's going to join us here. But, the web that is being woven by the Turks, at some point, aren't we going to say, all right, let's everybody relax. This happens all the time, and we're not going to allow the Turks to leverage this into something, right? Because if we open up the American, let's open up the American consulate today in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, and also in Istanbul, and anybody who has somebody missing, come down and fill out a missing person report. And we're specifically interested in people that family members believe that were yoked up by the intelligence service, secret police, whatever. How long do you think the line's going to be at our embassies in both those places? I'll give you two choices. No line or a long line. Or a line with maybe 4 or 5 people in it. Yeah. You know what the answer to the question is? No line. You want to know why? Because they'll be afraid that they'll get their shit yoked up too. Okay, so let's just caveat this by saying, let's just say that nobody is going to get in trouble for going and getting in the line. Then the line is down the street and around the block and then around the next block. Yeah. So we're playing a game, is my point. The game is stoked by the fact that he's a media guy and he works for one of the greatest newspapers in the nation, the Washington Post. Okay. Greatest, not in terms of content, certainly. Greatest in terms of names. The New York Times, the Washington Post, the two grandest names in American newspaper publishing. Now owned by the guy who owns Amazon. Ugh. So, that's the game that's being played right now, right? But, the odd thing, what does it all mean when the Turks release that guy? What does that mean? So, good morning to you on a Friday. Whitney Houston's going to roll in here and sing the national anthem, and we'll officially get the show on the road. We'll check some news headlines. And we'll get the sink kicking. So, good morning to you. Whitney Houston makes it official. It is Friday, the 12th day of October. Good morning to you. Thank you. this is dedicated to the people down in the Panhandle of Florida. Good luck to everybody down there, all the first responders down there. Get after it, boys and girls.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the weather. Talked to a friend in North Carolina yesterday. They were getting it fed to them from Hurricane Michael. So good luck to them. Partly sunny and 59 in Quantico. Camp Lejeune reports sun and 68 degrees. 3 weather warnings in effect. 1 is a beach hazard statement, so stay off the beaches. 2, tropical weather statement that in effect until 13:15 Eastern time today. Yeah, notice how I translated that for all you military dorks out there. Small craft advisory. So, yeah, you probably don't need to be in your boat off the coast, right? Word of the wise should be sufficient. That's what the nuns would say when I was a kid. A word to the wise should be sufficient. And, of course, it never was, but for whatever reason, they used to say that. Cloudy in 67 in Granbury, sun in 44 in Big Timber, Montana. My friends in North Dakota posting pictures of snow. Congratulations to them. Clouds in 60 in 29 Palms, sun in 52 at Pendleton. Chilly morning at Camp Pendleton. The lieutenant's out humping right now. That's right. Motivator. Clouds in 69 in Okinawa, Japan. In Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 70 degrees, so nice evening in the Helmand province of Afghanistan and in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. It is sunny and 59 degrees. Looking for a high of 79, I think, today. Unless they've revised it down, yeah. For today, 79. Tonight, possible thundershowers. We don't have thundershowers, okay? 50% chance of rain and lightning tonight. What? Saturday, rain and 69 degrees, possible thunderstorms. Same 50% chance. And then on Sunday, 72 degrees. I don't know if I'm buying that. The air is really cool right now. I don't know how the hell we're getting to 79. So the Beanie and Cecil crew, otherwise known as the weather people, that group of menses, yeah, I'm not feeling it today. All right, we're not going to take a break. We're going to go right into the news because that's how committed I am to keeping you informed about DOD and U.S. Marine Corps news. Few female Marines are joining the infantry, but that was expected, top Marine says. What does that mean? What does it all mean? It means they're smart, okay? Like, why do I want to do this? Only 27 Marines across the Corps have donned the O3 Infantry Occupational Specialty. That breaks down to 26 enlisted women and one officer bearing the grunt title as of August 28th, according to the data provided by Manpower and Reserve Affairs. Only two women have successfully navigated the Marine Corps' 13-week grueling infantry officer course, and only one of them is actively serving as an infantry platoon commander. The other one is an intelligence officer who would never serve as an infantry platoon commander because she doesn't have that military occupational specialty. Now, that would contrast to the United States Army Rangers, who have zero infantry platoon commanders. I added that to the article. It doesn't really say that. In total, 113 enlisted women and 29 officers are serving in job fields that were previously restricted, according to Manpower and Reserve Affairs. But those numbers have seen a steady increase since 2015. So there you have it. Numbers are getting more serving in them. Infantry numbers, as you might expect, not so much. To up fighter readiness levels, which the Secretary of Defense said needed to get to 80%, the Pentagon is looking at retiring older aircraft and fixing supply chains. You think? All right, so aircraft fleets are going to get smaller and healthier, it appears. If you missed the story yesterday, all U.S. F-35s have been grounded worldwide pending an inspection of a fuel tube. So once they get that inspected to see if it's a certain part with a certain DODIC, yeah, look it up, DODIC, then they'll either swap it out or say, no, we're good, and then the aircraft is back in flying status. Next story. Broken feet and hurt shoulders. Male Marines have far more injuries than women at the infantry officer course. Oh, my God. These articles are so bullshit. So what's the point? Women hold up better, then why aren't they graduating? Because some kind of organizational bias? And an article I got, so why aren't they playing on the Naval Academy and football team? Why aren't they playing on the football team at West Point? Are they being discriminated against? Get them out there. Let them play a little D1 football. Oh, well, Mac, don't be an idiot. They can't do that. Oh, wait, why not? The little engine that could? Hello? You guys, whatever. From June 2016 to June 2018, there were 41 reported injuries at IOC, but only one was a female Marine who sustained a bruised rib, according to data obtained by the Marine Corps Times through a Freedom of Information Act. Then there should be oogles that get through the Corps, don't you know? This is interesting. The results shed some light on the otherwise tight-lipped school that has been spotlighted in recent years over what some activist groups have perceived as unfair standards and practices that have stymied female success at the Marine schoolhouse. As a matter of perspective, 18 women have graduated from the Army's elite Ranger School, according to Army Times. Now, here's the rest of the story. As per Tyler Jones, no women have gotten through the Army's Rangers Indoc course, which is eight weeks. 4 weeks of getting you to quit, another 4 weeks of teaching you a little something and still trying to get you to quit. What? But that's Ranger School, Mac. No, it's not. What? Yeah, so there's zero female platoon commanders in the Army Rangers. None of them, no female has made it through their 8-week course. But wait a minute. It says 18 women have graduated from the Army's elite Ranger School. Oh, that's an Army leadership course based on Ranger principles. What? I don't understand. Yeah. And they don't tell you that in the article. You have to do a little digging to find that out. Maybe somebody should stick a flashlight up the Ranger's ass. But I guess that would require you to do some digging. Right? And let me tell you, the Washington Post, the New York Times sent a former Marine who I don't particularly care for, halfway around the world to embed with 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines because they have the only female platoon commander in the Marine Corps. And what he got out of that whole experience was not very much, but they blew it up into a huge article. She's hardly quoted in the article. Because it would appear, by the way she conducts herself, that she's more worried about what her Marines think of her and doing her job than she is being a story for the New York Times, which nobody wants to hear, right? Everybody wants to hear this woman's story. And they pursue it like nothing. So if you look at what is clickbait and what drives clicks, these stories, the reason why they appear is because they drive clicks. Yeah. So when we sit around and we talk about, okay, where are we going? All right, let's talk about the horizontal themes that we service on a monthly basis. Technology, got that. Yeah, we're all over Modern Marine Expo. Female integration, what are we doing with that? Let's go, boys and girls. You know how huge that is for our numbers. Here's what our numbers look like. We got to get there. We need two or three stories, one a week for the next 3 weeks. Got it? Let's go. Let's get after it. That's the way it goes. That is the game. The truth. Come on. What are we? Children? What are we? Children? I ask you again. Are we children? No, Mac, we're not. Are you sure we're not? Because I am not sure. You know, there was a day and age when you went to the newspaper and you opened it up and you were going to read what was going on. Now you're going to read what somebody wants you to read in order for them to be at the top of a list so they can raise advertising rates. Is that necessarily the news and what you need to know? Maybe not. Maybe not. I look at, in fact, I woke up this morning at about 3:15. I don't know why God is doing this to me lately, but he's doing it to me. He or she is doing it to me. For all you green energy people, it is doing it to me. Somebody's doing it to me. Everywhere you turn is this tsunami of, you know, whether it be on Facebook, you get all these people that, you know, that in your personal space, you know, are blowing it up for whatever reason. Where do you go to find peace? Well, certainly not social media. Can't turn on the TV and watch the news. You just click it off and go to your, someplace and you do something and you don't have you have music on because you can't have the radio on, and you just insulate yourself from all that. Yeah, you have to completely electronically isolate yourself and go have fun doing something fun, because if you light off any of it, that's what you get. All right, top five stories in early bird. Number one, all US F-35s grounded worldwide. You know about that. Number two, Tyndall Air Force Base in Florida took a direct hit and has extensive damage from Hurricane Michael. You know, if I was a Martian and I was down on Earth for the first time, after watching the coverage of this hurricane, I would ask, is this the first time this has ever happened? Oh, no, we have these all the time. Wait a minute. I don't understand. I don't understand what happened. But the way I see this, yeah, it's clickbait. What is clickbait? Anyway. Yeah, you would think if you watch the coverage that this is the first time a hurricane has ever hit Florida. And again, it doesn't lessen the tragedy, you know, but again, it's just, I don't know. Number three, more doctor visits, more money. Obese soldiers may be too expensive to keep, Army study suggests. This is absolutely, this is mind-blowing, okay? Listen to this shit, though. Almost one in five active duty male soldiers in 2015 was obese. And one half were overweight. Obese. O-B-E-S-E. Now for the first time, the Army's calculating the cost of those added pounds to better understand at what point is a soldier too expensive to keep. Army Dr. Major Brian Shinazawa has led the effort analyzing the height and weight data of 429,793 active male soldiers in fiscal year 2015, as opposed to physical year. That's always awesome in a meeting when somebody stands up and say, during the physical year. What'd you say? The physical year? Got it. Is that opposed to the spiritual year? Pardon me? No, the physical year. Do you mean the fiscal year, you butthead? Oh. He's then cross-referencing those records with the soldiers' visits to military treatment facilities, TRICARE data, and inpatient and outpatient medical claims during the same time frame. What Shinazawa found is that obese soldiers used almost double the medical resources that their normal weight counterparts did in almost every medical category except multiple trauma, which he links which he links may be an in, which he thinks may be why did I see links? Which he thinks may be an indicator that obese soldiers are not deploying to combat, or that type of medical emergency would be more likely. So the fat asses, they don't deploy, so they don't get trauma. They don't get traumatized. They're the definition of fat, dumb, and happy. I don't know about dumb. Maybe they're smart. Fat, no comment on mental category, and happy. Fat and happy. He's a happy fat guy. Because he doesn't deploy because he's too fat. Obese male soldiers went to the doctor an average of 13 times that year. What? Normal weight soldiers went 7 times a year. Really? More time at the doctor can be less time training, less time being deployed, and greater financial costs to the DOD, Shinazawa said, which increases risk to readiness. Look, first of all, obese? Come on, man. Obese. Clown show. The Army expelled 500 immigrant recruits in 1 year. Now, this is kind of an interesting little blur, because what we just had a little discussion at the start, like, how is the head of Interpol Chinese? Chinese are totalitarian. I mean, they're now law and order people, too? I don't think so. But it's, we play these games. We play charades around the world. And we hopefully, like, now we're going to find out the vice head of Interpol, Vladimir Putin Jr., has just become its president. So anyway, this goes to the root of some of the issues, which is background checks. Over the course of 12 months, the Army discharged more than 500 immigrant enlistees who were recruited across the globe for their language or medical skills and promised a fast track to citizenship in exchange for their service, the Associated Press has found. The decades-old military accession vital to the national interest recruiting program was put on hold in 2016 among concerns that immigrant recruits were not being screened sufficiently. The Army began booting out those enlistees last year without explanation. The AP has interviewed more than a dozen recruits from countries such as Brazil, Pakistan, Iran, China, Mongolia, all who said they were devastated by their unexpected discharge or canceled contracts. I can imagine. It's devastating when you're a spy and you get your livelihood pulled away from you. Poor babies. But you know what? We are dumber than a bag of hammers. Number 5, head of military school fired for using marijuana extract to treat cancer. A Vietnam War veteran who spent 22 years in the Air Force was fired last month from his job as Dean of Academics at the Air Force Special Operations School for using non-psychoactive cannabis extract to treat his prostate cancer. Retired Captain Henry Cobb, 77, was dismissed from the Hurlburt Field, Florida school, where he had served as dean since 2009 for, quote, use of cannabinoid, a Schedule I controlled substance. Cobb's appealed, but the commander of the 492nd Special Operations Training Group, Colonel Robert Macedis, upheld the decision and informed Cobb the termination would be permanently reflected in his retired airman's file. In response, Cobb filed for retirement hours before he was scheduled to be terminated, according to the Herald Tribune, a move that would allow him to preserve his retirement benefits. My life has been a storybook, to tell you the truth, Cobb said. I've been blessed. But to end it on this note, like this, is reprehensible. What I'm trying to do is protect my legacy. And Cobb has an impressive legacy. Prior enlisted airman military assignments include work as a Chinese Mandarin linguist, listening on enemy communications, an air intelligence officer in the 18th Tactical Fighter Wing, an air targets intelligence officer, and a sensor operations detachment commander. After completing his 22-year military career in 1982, Cobb went to work as an information and instructional systems advisor to the Saudi Royal Air Force in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Cobb also earned two master's degrees and a doctorate in administration of higher education. But a list of accomplishments in both military and civilian sector couldn't protect Cobb from the military's strict stance on the increasingly debated topic of medical marijuana. Diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2016, he began preparation for radiation and chemotherapy treatment, but opted against it when a doctor suggested an alternative treatment that consisted of medical marijuana dietary supplements. So he's out the door. Isn't there a better way to go about that? South Korea says North Korea intends, this is from Reuters, intends to abolish all nuclear weapons. Why am I struggling with that? All right. Anyway, I'm not even going to go there. It's Friday. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, the chef is going to join us. So don't touch that dial. More of Auburn Radio on a Friday. Next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.